Alright, time for a DoNotGod.com video presentation. Okay. Halloween and such. I'll put the light on. Right now for the scary part. Yeah, the... Sabine Hassenfelder video. Now, on this video, she should be on my side, arguing against the silly people who talk about how, well, we, you know, it's like the Pyrrhos, who think we should have 20 billion people on Earth. You know, we all should live in, like, hair dryers or something. I mean, it's just, well, I mean, dryers. Little boxes. Forget it. It's too stupid. Anyway. Just for so many reasons. We don't have enough good things for people to do now. You know, we have too many people, too few fun rides for them to ride. They have to wait in long lines, you know, to get to anything good. So, forget it. We already have too many people. Anyway, so yeah, let's go on to the video, I think. Yeah, you gotta do the fix the volume thing. Sorry, I kind of always do this stuff before I make a video, and I forget, and blah, blah, blah. Whatever. All right, play the video.
There's too many men, too many people, making too many problems.
All right, so that's lyrics from a song. Back in the Ronald Reagan days. It's really, everything's getting so old. Continuing.
That's how Genesis put it. Elon Musk, on the other hand, thinks there are too few people on the planet.
I think a lot of people think that there's too many people on
the planet. What the hell is wrong with him? He got one of those things or something? He's breathing through his neck? I mean, what the hell is that? Oh, God, these silly fucking people with money. Why do they give money to retards? I mean, why give the money to these retarded people? It's too stupid. I mean, we could just take all the money from the rich people and let's have a contest for who should have the money. And you should be really able to do something useful, not this shit. Sit in a chair and look silly. Anybody can do that.
The planet, but I think there's, in fact, too few. And that the possibly the single greatest risk to human civilization is the...
So it's a great risk to the existence of civilization to have too few people? Too idiotic. How could you possibly calculate the having too few people as being some sort of threat? I mean, you're not going to overuse resources, you're not going to pollute, you're not going to compete. You're gonna, you know, it's, you know, you're gonna be fighting over resources. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Rapidly diminishing birth rate.
Okay, so who's right?
So why would you want a continual growth rate? I mean, that's, you know, old crappy Keynesian economics kind of retarded bullshit. You want sustainable civilization, not unsustainable. It has to constantly grow or it fails. You don't want that, logically.
Too many people or too few? That's what we'll talk about today. This graph shows the increase of world population in the past 12,000 years.
Alright, so it's cheating by doing the 12,000 year thing, but obviously you can see the Industrial Revolution, whatever, the last 100 years have really made the mess. Okay, so once we stopped all the babies from dying, big mistake, it turns out, right? I mean, obviously it's good for us to be able to, quoting a movie, right, nature's to be overcome. So we've overcome the blight of nature, the evils of evolution that says we're supposed to watch most of our kids die, so we don't do that anymore. We became civilized, but most of the world didn't figure out the consequence of that civilization is, or overcoming that evolutionary pressure, is that we can't be in a baby-making war, our race.
Leaving aside this dip in the 14th century when the plague wiped out big parts of the population in Europe and Asia, it looks pretty much like exponential growth. If we extrapolate this curve, then in 1,000 years there'll be a few trillions of us. But this isn't how population growth works. Sooner or later, all species run into resource limits of some kind. So when will we hit ours?
And what does that mean, even though resource limits? Again, so what are we going to actually allow babies to die and little kids to die and to starve and to do all that kind of crap? So that's the joke part of it. Soylent and Green sort of, you know, had some, it showed you something like what overpopulation be like. You know, everybody's sleeping on all over the place. It's like homelessness everywhere. But it didn't really, you know, and just mass feedings. You know, you just feed the masses of people who don't have a real life. But that doesn't figure out the sanitation and all the other issues that go with it and the disease that it creates and spreads. So, it's a little hard, you know, I don't know who's going to model this stuff. You know, it's kind of a grisly model to be making. But, the real model turns into probably some sort of civil war, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure World War II is somewhere on there. I mean, 50 million people is a lot of people.
When it comes to the question how close humans are to reaching this planet's resource limits, the two extremes are doomsters and boomsters.
Yeah, whatever, yes. Pigeonhole everybody, whatever. Keep playing the same silly, stupid fucking game. And, oh, you're not on either side. You're somehow a whatever, glibster, right in the middle.
Yes, doomsters and boomsters sound like rival gangs from rock music.
Yeah, well, so why do you bother playing with the words then? Yes, why bother? Why bother falling into the same old stupid trap? Just make an rational argument about what needs to be considered for the future. And that overpopulation is not a good thing, especially when 99% of the overpopulation is also ignorant and has no civilization to live in.
That are about to break out in song, but reality is a bit less dire.
Idiocracy should be in the picture somewhere, you know.
We'll look at what both sides have to say, and then we look at what science says.
Oh, yes. So don't tell us what science says, what scientists say, what individual scientists say who have an individual agenda. Yuck.
Doomsters have a long tradition going back at least to Thomas Malthus in the 18th century. Malthus said, in a nutshell, the population is growing faster than food production and it'll become increasingly more difficult to feed everyone. If that ever does happen, it'd be a huge bummer because I don't know about you guys, but I'd really like to keep eating food.
Well, whatever. So it's all glib, jokey. Heh heh heh. So that's really one of the real subjects is getting rid of the, you know, the food and the waste. Two critical things civilization has to figure out.
Especially cheese. I'd really like to keep eating cheese.
Well, whatever. So you'd like to keep abusing cows forever. And you want to raise your kids to abuse cows. So again, we're talking about the future. And the future doesn't have to have our, you know, I still intake nicotine. The future doesn't have to be nicotine dependent. It doesn't have to be cheese dependent. It doesn't have to be all the things that we are that make us much more wasteful than we have to be. Because we acquired a bunch of stinking, lousy, rotten habits from our stinking, lousy, not very thoughtful parents.
Malthus' problem was popularized in a 1968 book by Paul Ehrlich called The Population Bomb. Title says it all. Ehrlich predicted that by the 1980s, famines would be commonplace and global death.
So, in the 1980s, there were famines. They were sort of commonplace. The whole Ethiopia thing broke open, lots of things happened because it really showed the fact of this lack of infrastructure problem. And so some of that's been fixed because of the United Nations. And so there's a whole bunch of people right now, right? Even these stupid, evil Muslims that we keep having wars with, frankly, we're paying to feed them. You know, so, yeah, we had to put in place instruments to keep people from starving to death. And so we did do that. All right. But it was a real problem, and it's not going to go away if we keep feeding people who keep having way too many kids.
Rates would rise. As you may have noticed, this didn't happen.
So it did happen. Okay. So I lived then, so I know it did happen. Okay. All those pictures are from the 80s, right? I mean, lots of people starved to death.
In reality, death rates have dropped, continue to drop, and on the average, calorie consumption has globally increased. Still,
yes, that's right. And everybody's bitching because of HMOs or whatever the hell it is. They don't like their hormone-manipulated food, and that's what's made a difference, is all of those advances in farming techniques and machinery that's replaced humans and all of that kind of crap. But all that stuff, like computer chip speeds and all the other things, that has its limits too. So there's going to be a point when, yes, you're going to have to start, eating Soylent earthworm or some Soylent bugs and Soylent this and Soylent that.
Ehrlich claims that he was in principle right. It'll just take somewhat longer than he anticipated.
Well, a completely valid statement, really. And, the truth is, it's unsustainable growth. This planet is filthy. It's the truth. And it's just amazing how much the environment can actually tolerate, how much crap we can actually put into the frickin' ecosystem without it all crashing. So yes, so far, the geysers are still working because there isn't enough plastic bags in them to stop them from working. But yeah, there's lots of signs, there's lots of places where it's looking pretty dire, that there's a red tide coming.
Indeed, the Club of Rome report of 1972 predicted that we would reach the limits to growth in the mid-21st century and population would steeply decrease after that, basically because we weren't careful enough in handling the limited resources.
All right, so we know that the population will decrease dramatically because educated people who have a brain don't have kids. And that's the truth of it. Smart people don't step into the mess because they realize, hey, you know what? It is a huge responsibility, and I really don't want my kid to be a cheese chaser. I don't want my kid to be an asshole. I don't want him to be this. I don't want him to be that. And stopping him from all those things happening is going to be insanely complicated and an awful lot of work, and I'm not terribly interested in doing all that, so fuck it. I don't want the job. So I'll buy an electronic pet, okay, because it doesn't make real poop, and I don't have to feed it real food, and I don't have to do all that other crap, and it still bark at me and lick my face, so that's good enough, fuck it. Yeah, people are finding something else to do with their life except sit around and say, well, so should I just be obedient to some sort of evolutionary mandate? Or shall I make the choice to use my brain in some more sophisticated manner?
Resources we have. Several analyses in the early 21st century found that so far the business as usual predictions from the Club of Rome aren't far off reality. The Earth Overshoot Day is an intuitive way to quantify just how bad.
Some more gimmicky talk and, slogans and all that stuff. Ugh, I hate it.
But we are at using our resources. The idea was...
Yes, peak oil is another little phrase, we've taken half the oil, the good stuff, out of the ground. The rest is all downhill, and then you run out, and then what do you use?
Put forward by Andrew Sims from the University of Sussex, and it's to calculate by which date in each calendar year we've used up the resources that Earth regenerates in that year. If that date is...
Oh, that's just too tiresome. I mean, obviously we're running a deficit, so what's the point of that crap?
Before the end of the year, this means that each year we shrink the remaining resources, which ultimately isn't sustainable. In this figure, you see the Earth...
Well, there's two parts to the equation, right? I mean, there's what resources are there to burn, and then there's, how much soot can the environment take? And so you have to look at both sides of that equation, and both sides are negative. You run out of the resource, it gets more and more expensive, and therefore people can't have it because it's too expensive. And on top of that, it gets pricier and pricier because of all the environmental damage. But at least it's not just poor people who pay for that. Rich people get flooded too.
Overshoot days since 1970. As you can see, in the past 10 years or so, we used up all renewable resources in early August. In 2020, the COVID pandemic pushed that date temporarily back by a couple of days, but now we're back on track to reach overshoot day sooner and sooner. It's like Groundhog Day meets Honey, I Shrunk the Resources.
Why don't you just say what the point is? The point is that even though we're trying not to be as filthy, we're still filthy. We're still increasing the problem, just like population is still growing. So we have a number like 8 billion, seems like plenty of people, really don't need any more, we ought to just stop. And no, we haven't reached zero yet. Even though all of the civilized world is at negative numbers, the uncivilized world is still running hot.
Clearly not something anyone wants. So the doomsters' fears aren't entirely unjustified. We've arguably...
Well, who would argue they're completely unjustified? I mean, it'd have to be a god-botherer or something. I mean, who would say there's absolutely no consequence to overpopulation? I mean, that would be just too stupid an argument.
Not been dealing with our resources responsibly. Overpopulation isn't pretty, and it's very real already in some places. For example, the population density in Los Angeles is about 3,000 people per square kilometer, but that of Manila in the Philippines is more than 10 times higher, a stunning 43,000 people per square kilometer. There's so little space, some families have settled in the cemetery.
Right, but that's sort of cheating because, yeah, obviously the territories aren't as, the demand on the space isn't as high and blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't mean that the quality of life or, you know, you can go through the numbers. Yeah, so there's more people living in smaller apartments, but they're probably living cleaner in some respects than the people in L.A., you know. It just depends on how, you know, the real thing to figure out is how many of the people are living in absolute shit, like no floor and no ceiling. I don't want to hit that. Ugh, I don't even know what buttons I'm hitting anymore. Hope I didn't pause in the wrong place. Well, who cares? You'll just miss something.
The general rule, and I hope you'll all agree, I think people shouldn't have to sleep near dead bodies when possible.
Oh, whatever. I mean, sleeping in a cemetery is not all that bad, frankly, but whatever. I'll be back. Continuing.
Such extreme overpopulation benefits the spread of diseases and makes it very difficult to enforce laws meant to keep the environment clean, which is a health risk. You may argue the actual problem here...
So again, It's not just population, it spreads the diseases, it's the conditions, you know, whether they have drinking water, all of this stuff, clean water, blah, 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 everybody's washing in the same river or something, blah, blah, those kind of things matter too.
There isn't overpopulation, but poverty, but really it's neither in isolation, it's the relation between them.
Good.
The number of people grows faster than the resources they'd need to keep the living standard at least stable. On the global level, the doomsters argue the root problem of climate change and the loss of biodiversity that accompanies it is that there's too many people on the planet.
All right, with all biodiversity argument, I don't think anybody's ever made any real argument that this is a critical issue at all. So that's just some sort of, oh, we're losing the variety of bugs or some, you know, there's no evidence that any of that stuff has any, that we have any critical interest in maintaining biodiversity, because even if you inbred an animal, even human beings, it probably happened in our past a lot. That's why we are advanced, is because of punctuated equilibrium. I mean, that's what the science really says, is small populations get very mutated. So, you know, they make lots of mutants, and that's what you want. That's evolution, the whole point of evolution is to make errors, make mistakes, make fucked up shit. And every now and then, the fucked up shit is really cool. So that's the whole point. So obviously, it's completely survivable, and in some respects, it's really good for your advancement so you don't stay redundant and boring. Frankly.
You may have seen the headline some years ago, "Want to fight climate change? Have fewer children." Scientists say having fewer kids is our best bet to reduce climate change. Science proves kids are bad for Earth.
Right, but the wrong people are seeing these signs, so that's the whole problem, right? I mean, the people who are stopping having kids aren't the people, well, they are the people who are have a terrible green footprint thing, okay? They have real brown footprints because they're in the advanced world and they're sucking up cheese, you know, they're chasing cheese. So they're really expensive human beings. So yeah, so them stopping is good too. But the real problem is that the poor people aren't being told, you're poor, you're stupid, you suck, quit having kids because you're a moron and you're not going to be able to take care of them. So instead of blackmailing shitty countries to forcing them to improve, that is saying, we'll give you extra welfare, we'll give you some extra money if you reduce your population growth. You know, instead of really pushing the subject, everybody's just sitting around saying, no, we're not going to do anything about it, really. We're just going to let it keep happening. And it's going to keep happening.
These headlines summarized a 2017 article that appeared in the magazine Environmental Research Letters. Its authors had looked at 39 peer-reviewed papers and government reports. They wanted to find out what lifestyle...
I mean, who the fuck peer reviews these papers? I mean, you just gotta wonder what kind of agenda police, the agenda police, who are policing these kind of subjects. You know, these, you know, getting into all kinds of eugenics kind of crap. Yeah, who's policing those articles?
Choices have the biggest impact on our personal share of emissions. Turns out that recycling doesn't make much of a difference. Neither makes changing your car or...
Well, the way we're doing it doesn't make much of a difference. But if we actually did it where we don't have to make a profit... You know, it's the whole, nobody does any of these things in any kind of good way. I mean, it's the whole solar panels on roof thing. Why subsidize a bunch of private businesses to make a bunch of private money and personal this and personal that when it's not a personal problem? You don't fight it individually. It's just retarded. We can all invest in one big giant nuclear cannon or we can all buy pop guns. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, I don't know how to create a perfect analogy for it. The point is, if we did this on the scale it needs to be done at, then it could be really productive and efficient. But no, we have to keep turning everything into some sort of entrepreneurial opportunity. And that's the problem. Capitalism, it destroys any hope of efficiency. Some things you have to just do, and you don't make any money doing it. You just do it because it's the right thing to do. Like a public library or something.
Avoiding transatlantic.
I mean, not anymore. So, although I would always say public libraries are a great idea, obviously now they're not a great idea anymore. They're a waste of money.
Atlantic flight, which is unfortunate for those of you who are scared of flying, as not flying to protect the environment is no longer a good excuse.
Yeah, well, again, the whole flying thing, as you pointed out in one of your other videos, 70% of the airplanes are flying in and out of America, the United States. So obviously we're gluttony pigs. We're flying around where we don't need to be. So yeah, and it's, you know, a giant percentage of the fucking greenhouse gases. So... Yeah, the civilized world isn't doing much as to show a good example. They just seem like huge hypocrites.
The one thing that really made a difference was not having children. Indeed, it was 25 times more important than the next one, which was live car-free. The key reason they arrived at this conclusion is that they assumed you inherit half of the carbon emissions of your children and then a quarter of your grandchildren, etc., etc.
Oh, well, that's just too big a gimmick, right? So you're just figuring out how many glasses all of your prodigy will break in an infinite universe and then saying, see, you broke 7 trillion glasses, so yeah, you're too fucktarded to live. I mean, what a fucking... Why even show a chart that's made out of bullshit like that? You know, how much future oxygen are your children going to breathe? I mean, it's just, fuck that. It's too stupid.
Fast forward to the headlines of 2022, and we read that men are getting vasectomies so they don't have to feel guilty if they keep driving a car.
Again, you don't have to get a vasectomy to avoid having kids, so it's really, you know, it is avoidable without resorting to that. But sure, I guess they just want to, I mean, frankly, in a world full of all these communicable diseases, who wants to even bother? You want to get some sort of opposite thing. Well, not an opposite to a vasectomy, but some sort of second skin, applied over your whole, they're getting there, right? I mean, they have all these, you can almost change who you look like with a bunch of, latex plastic stuff you could put on. It's almost like, yeah, why not? Make it all fake.
Elon Musk has meanwhile fathered 8 children, though maybe by the time I finish this sentence, he has a few more.
I thought it was 10, but whatever.
So let's then look at the other side of the argument, the boomsters. The boomsters fire is fueled by just how wrong both Malthus and Ehrlich were. They were both wrong because they dramatically underestimated how much technological progress would improve agricultural yield and how that in return would improve health and education and lead to more technology.
So bullshit that it improved health and education. We knew health and education were going to be improved, but who could guess? I mean, how do you make those guesses? If you were sitting 40 years ago trying to predict, what are you going to predict? Well, they'll cure cancer, or which things are you going to say they'll fix and they'll not fix? Before penicillin, it looked pretty dire, right? I mean, who would have figured, wow, they're going to come up with something that kills 90% of microbes? That didn't seem like it was going to happen tomorrow. Like all of a sudden, you've got this wonder drug or miracle cure.
Progress. Boomsters extrapolate this past success and argue that human ingenuity will always save the day. To illustrate this point,
it won't always save the day, and because we really haven't been pushed to that day. But we're getting closer and closer. I mean, the next civil war is just going to be so ugly.
Economist Julian Simon has developed what's called the Simon Abundance Index. You may think it tells you if there is an abundance of Simons, but no, it tells you instead the abundance of 50 basic commodities and their relation to population growth. His list of basic commodities contains everyday needs, such as uranium, platinum, and tobacco, but doesn't contain cheese. Seems that Mr. Simons and I don't quite have the same idea of basic commodities.
So again, you're just kind of signaling again, that, you're really not paying attention to one of the most vital resources, which is the pain and suffering we're imposing on other sentient creatures on this planet. And you're just glibly stepping right past it like it didn't happen and it doesn't mean anything and it shouldn't be considered and blah, 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 blah. And you can't even give it a lip service. You give it exactly the opposite service. You just gluttonously say, I love eating a piece of something else's suffering. I mean, it's just true. You could have kept all this crap out of the video and just keep eating your cheese. And you should just eat it in your own little private hell. And you shouldn't sit there and advertise that this is the way people should think. That they should, squander not only the welfare of other human beings, but squander the welfare of other feeling animals on this planet. Just throw it in the trash. Just waste it gratuitously.
The index is calculated as the ratio of the price of the commodity and the average hourly wage. So basically, it's a measure of how much of the stuff you'd be able to buy. The index is normalized to 1980, which marks 100%. In 2020...
And again, none of that can make any sense. And just simple little things happen, like the price of oil going insane. Okay. I mean, there's no reason for us to be paying the fuel prices we're paying, because when oil is $80 a barrel, they shouldn't be this high. So we're just getting grotesquely exploited by oil companies who are going to make obscene profits. I mean, you know, maybe $1 trillion profits this year. I mean, the crisis is entirely created by them. And so as long as you allow these capitalists to control these markets, there's going to be all kinds of potential for really making life impossible for some people, because that'll be the margin between surviving and not surviving.
The index reached 708.4%. And hey, the curve goes mostly up, so certainly that's a good thing. Boomsters like to quote this index to prove something. Now, this seems a little overly simplistic, and you may wonder what the amount of tobacco you can buy with your earnings has to do with natural resources.
Well, and I don't even understand if tobacco's on the list, it's really going to be insane, because, yeah, I couldn't afford to survive and smoke. So I don't know who's doing all the smoking anymore, but it's got to be really, you got to be really rich to smoke cigarettes.
Indeed, if you look for this index in the scientific literature, you won't find it. It isn't generally accepted as a good measure of resource abundance. What it captures is the tendency of technology to increase efficiency, which leads to dropping prices so long as resources are available. It tells you nothing about how long the resources will last. However, the boomsters do have a point in that pessimistic predictions from the past didn't come true, and that underpopulation is also a problem. Indeed, countries like Canada, Norway, and Sweden have an underpopulation problem in their northern territories. It's just hard to keep up living standards if...
So, again, the problem is being articulated in which way, you know, that McDonald's no longer can make enough money or something? I mean, what's the failure of the downsizing of some community somewhere? It's just a readjustment. There's no crisis. There's no, oh, it's the end of the world. No, there's no end of the world scenario. It's just that some people will have to change their lifestyle because their lifestyle won't be sustainable in a smaller population center. You know, you can have, you know, there's places like, you know, there's here, you know, where I live here, you know, there's a 7-Eleven, and less than a half mile away, there's a Quick Check and a something else and a something else. And they can all survive because there's enough population density. But yeah, they all can't survive if there was only, you know, whatever, 500 people in the town.
There aren't enough people to maintain them. That's true for infrastructure, but also education and health services. A civilization as complex as the one we currently have would be impossible to maintain with merely some million people. That
not if they're all in the right place. So again, this is more, you know, more argument that obviously there's efficiencies to living in cities. That's why a lot of people live in cities, is because you can do it a little more efficiently. But there's also advantages and good sides to rural living. So, you know, frankly, I'll take some of the inconveniences for some of the, you know, nice conveniences, which is I don't have to look at anybody's stupid fucking face.
Just not be enough of us to learn and carry out all the necessary tasks, like making YouTube videos.
Well, another problem is the matter where you live, so that's not a very good example of anything. But anyway, yeah, take a pause. All right, I'm back.
Distribution. For most of history, it had a pyramid shape with more young people than old ones. This example shows the population pyramid for Japan for 1920. When people have fewer children, this changes to an inverted pyramid with more old people than young ones. This makes it difficult to take proper care of the elderly. Here you
So again, more nonsense about what proper care even means. You know, and if you have rational right to die things, you can cut all this, you know, big part of this out of here, because you don't have to sit there and die in this sloppy and horrible way. Blah, 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 blah.
See the population pyramid for Japan as it is right now. The transition is already happening in countries such as Japan and South Korea and will soon happen in most of the developed world. But the inverted pyramid comes from a decrease in population, not from underpopulation, so it's a temporary problem that should resolve once a population stabilizes. Okay, so we've...
So I don't understand how she thinks it's going to resolve, because life will be keep getting... people keep being capable of living longer, and that pressure is still going to exist. So I don't know. Why would people breed more? There's no reason why they would. So you're going to keep declining in the population because there's no reason for people to keep... there's no reason for them to increase the number of children. So I don't buy that argument. It's always going to be a lopsided... that's what civilization does. It creates, a different shaped pyramid.
Seeing what the doomsters and boomsters say, now let's look at what science says.
Oh, whatever.
A useful term to talk about overpopulation is the carrying capacity of an ecosystem. That is the maximum population of a given organism that an ecosystem can sustain indefinitely.
Right, so and it doesn't mean anything. You completely can change how much you sustain by just adding fertilizer or doing some other thing, and you completely change the equation. So you find some way to, we clean the Great Lakes, blah, blah, blah. It's not unfixable, and it's not unchangeable and manipulatable and enhanceable. So all of that carrying capacity thing doesn't mean much.
So what we want to know is the carrying capacity of Earth for humans. Scientists disagree about the best and most accurate way of determining that number.
Right, so what's the point? So this is just like the stupid Drake equation or something. This is just based on a bunch of made-up assumptions, and change the made-up assumption and you completely change the answer. So, just crap.
Estimates vary dramatically. Most estimates lie in the range between 4 and 16 billion people, but some pessimists say the carrying capacity is more like 2 billion, so we've long exceeded it, and some optimists think we can squeeze more than 100 billion people on the planet. These estimates vary so much because they depend on factors that are...
Right. So the whole point is look, if we actually did do the iPod thing, if we actually did the technology thing, so instead of creating actual mansions for us to live in, we lived in the illusion of a mansion. All of that kind of downsizing. And the fact is a lot of people could live that way. So you give them a little cell to live in, okay, and they just basically do all of their leisure synthetic, technology-wise. And, there's a minimum footprint in the sense that they don't even walk much. They don't even have much. They're just, their job is 4 feet away from their, leisure quarters. They just don't take up much space. So yeah, you can test tube us. You can put us in a more synthetic environment and our demands from the ecosystem will go down. Fact.
Extremely hard to predict. For example, how many people we can feed depends on what their typical diet is. Earth can sustain more vegans than it can sustain Jordan Peterson's.
Right, but it can sustain, even if you took the vegan part out of it and you just said, well, if we just ate the resources that are on the planet, that there's bugs everywhere, there's stuff that's going to die anyway. It's going to get brutally killed, so we might as well be the last face it sees before it dies. Because it's going to die anyway. So, all of that kind of stuff. We shouldn't be farming sentient beings, but there's just a ton of crap to eat. And we can learn how to eat it. We can make potato chips out of something else besides potatoes. Soylent Green. But, useless to make it out of human bodies. But I just mean there's all kinds of bacterial sludge and algae and all kinds of little squiggly shit that doesn't have a brain that we could manufacture into food.
To eat nothing but meat, though some of you may think even one Jordan Peterson is too much. And of course, the estimates depend on how quickly you think technology improves together with population increase, which is basically guesswork. The bottom line is...
Right, so the whole thing is guesswork. It's a Drake equation. It's not science. So why say... Why don't we see what science says? Because it's made up. It's just, you know, these are numbers that can go almost anywhere. You know, the range is insane. So what's the point in saying science has the answer? Because clearly it's not there yet.
That the conservative estimate for the carrying capacity of Earth is roughly the current population. But if we're very optimistic, we might make it to 100 billion. Another thing we can do is...
So again, we could make it to anything as long as people continue to be willing to degrade and, you know, and be turned into, you know, a brain in a vat. So as long as you're comfortable with that, then you can increase. But why would you? Again, the point is why would that be sensible? The only reason why that would be sensible is that you let idiocracy already win. So it's not smart. It's not reasonable. It's not any of those things. Can we be unreasonable and stupid? Yes, we can. Will we survive certain stupidities? Yes, we will. Some we might not survive.
Try to infer trends from population data. The graph I showed you in the beginning may look like an exponential increase, but this isn't quite right. If you look at the past 50 years in more detail...
There you go. Yeah, so exactly. You change the scale, you change the numbers. And if you go even the last 20 years or whatever, you might even get this line to bend down a little bit more. But the truth is, yes, we're not growing as fast as we were growing in 1950, but we're still growing too fast, frankly. Too fast for anybody to have the prospect that we're creating resources and civilizations that can deal with that extra population, because it can't. Everything's getting shittier. Everything.
You can see that the rate of growth has been steady at about 1 billion people every 12 years. That's not exponential. What's going on becomes clearer if we...
Well, whatever. So the growth is, I mean, it's exponential growth. I mean, so I don't understand why she's saying it's growth. It's not saying that you stay at 12 billion. It's growing at a rate of, you know, whatever the increase is. A billion every 12 years or whatever she said. That's growth. That's exponential. I mean, it's exponential enough in the sense that it depends on, you know, it doesn't stop getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Yes, the rate at which it grows isn't getting bigger, but that stopped happening in the 50s. I mean, the rate at which the growth was growing, okay, yes, that stopped. But the fact that it's still growing, and again, it's not really growing less and less each year. Well, anyway, let's see what she says.
Look at the fertility rate in different regions of the planet.
Oh, so who cares? You know, I mean, we're way past talking about fertility rates as meaning anything in terms of the choices. These are choices. This is not about your fertility. It's about your psychology. It's not a fertility rate. It's a... you know, a psychological condition.
The fertility rate is what demographers call the average number of children a woman gives birth to. If the number falls below approximately 2.1, then the size of the population starts to fall. The 2.1 is called replacement level fertility.
Right. So, but that's kind of obvious. And yes, obviously, you know, in a lot of countries, if you weren't importing people, that number would be a lot lower. But why call that your fertility rate? Importing people isn't giving birth to them.
It's worth mentioning that the 2.1 is the replacement fertility in developed countries with a low child mortality rate. If child mortality is high, the replacement fertility level is higher. Current fertility rates differ widely between different nations. In the richest nations, fertility rates have long dropped below the replacement level. For example, the current fertility rate in the USA is 1.8.
So our domestic population of educated people that pretty much 98% went to high school, all that kind of crap. Those people have a fertility rate of 1.8. The people importing, the people who didn't go to a nice American high school and didn't do this and didn't do that and haven't been educated and exposed and are still religious kooks, they come here and have 7.4. So, yeah, that's the real numbers. The real numbers are stupid people breed, okay? Smart people don't. Fact. Important fact. People who have, you could just go by how many books you read. The more books you've read, the lower that number is going to be.
Japan, 1.3. Well, in the developing world, fertility rates are still high. For example, in Afghanistan, 6, and in Niger, 7.
Right, now, but the catch is their mortality rate for kids is probably higher. So their mortality rate, their sustainable birth rate would probably be 3.5 or something. So you have to have 3.5 to have the two survive, because they're probably letting a lot more of their little mutant kids die.
How's this situation going to develop? We don't know, of course.
Well, I think we do know. It's called idiocracy. That's right, the brick wall we're heading for. The world's getting dumber and dumber, and even the civilized countries haven't figured out that maybe they ought to do something to prevent it. They ought to at least stop electing idiots president. I mean, God damn it. I mean, they ought to put a bar up for being president of the country that's a little higher than stupid fuck.
But we can extrapolate the trends. In October 2020, The Lancet published the results of a massive study in which they did just that. A team of researchers from the University of Washington made forecasts for population trends in 185 countries from the present to the year 2100. They used several models to forecast the evolution of migration, educational attainment, use of contraceptives, and so on, and calculated the effects on life expectancy and birth rate.
Right, so they just pretended they knew how advanced a country was going to be based on absolutely no useful data. I mean, you can't compare any country to any other country. They're all uniquely shitty. Alright, so, anyway, the subject is that, that this is just all philosophy and psychology and religion or whatever you want to call it, ideologies. And that the conversation really is what does science say, okay? Where does that logic go in terms of recognizing that, books are sort of a good indicator. If something happens to people because they read more books, that's probably a good thing, so you could probably put correlations like that together and realize that there are certain features of being a human being, a certain condition a human being can be in that's a better condition. Psycho killer versus, AIDS cure maker, we really should be creating human beings who have some better, brains. That's it. And it's not about a race of brains. It's about the quality of the maturation and the, instruction and the character building of the brains. And that's what the conversation should really be about, is what is good for people in terms of making them less sloppy in their footprinting. That's cheese chasey and all of that kind of crap. And, but there's other social instruments you can do. Like, again, we can mildly extort the third world to behave better by just telling them that, yes, just like you could, you can tell somebody, look, we'll give you twice as much welfare if you get fixed. So you can't have, so you can't have any more kids sterilized. And it'd be worth the price. We'd save a ton of money in the long term, and it'd be very valuable in terms of not creating all these resource problems and all these, wasted money on kids that are broken because people are on drugs when they have them and all this other kind of crap. So, it's a money saver, and it's a world improving mechanism. So we should be doing those kinds of things. And I'd almost argue that just to hit the pause button, just to say, hey, we got enough people, we have a real resource problem, we have an environmental problem, let's just pause, okay, at least. And we could just say that everybody on Earth gets a voucher, okay, to have one kid, okay, their replacement kid. And if somebody wants to have more than their one kid, you know, the couple could have two. Yeah, you have to go buy it from somebody who doesn't want to use their voucher. You know, so, you know, and that would probably, you know, little mechanisms that could make it possible to get the idea in people's heads that this really is a real thing. I mean, even creating in the civilized countries some idea of where people who have 10 kids should feel some guilt that their neighbors have to pay a bunch of taxes for them because of a decision they made, because they decided to have 10 dogs, that somehow everybody else has to subsidize their pet decision. You know, that their personal little choices are somehow very expensive for their neighbor, like, you know, twice the, they should pay twice as much in taxes because of their decision, because of their lifestyle. Not for some public service, but for really their private choice. And people should probably have some obligation to recognize that, you know, when they're paying their taxes, they should be, maybe it should be shown on the tax bill that, well, you only paid in this much and we're paying out for your kids and for your welfare and all this kind of crap this much. So, you know, your neighbors are subsidizing you. When you're being subsidized, you probably should be aware of it. It should be something you understand that, yeah, that's what you're doing. You're forcing somebody else to go to work for you. It shouldn't be something you're not cognizant of. Yeah.
According to the forecast, global population will peak in the year 2064 at 9.7 billion and gradually decline to 8.8 billion.
Yeah, whatever. It ain't going to happen. So that number, just they keep pushing that number out. Okay, so it's that's just horse shit. Okay, so another 12, they don't have the numbers here, the date. But anyway, you know, we're going to go past the 9 number, no doubt.
By 2100. By then, the fertility rate will have dropped to only 1.66 globally. This is...
Yeah, who believes that? I mean, really, who believes in the current conditions that the Muslims and the Catholics and whatever are all, you know, all their little poor, you know, minions are going to somehow decide to be responsible? Yeah, no chance.
It's remarkably consistent with the Club of Rome report from 1972. They also looked at individual countries. For example, by 2100, China is forecasted to decrease its population by 48% to the small, measly number of 732 million people. No wonder Xi Jinping is asking Chinese people to have more babies. Both the US and the UK are expected to keep...
So, and the only reason why any of these declines happen is because people make the choice, okay, because they have choices, because women have the choice to choose not to be some baby-making, you know, incubator thing. And, you know, so that's why it happens. People have enough of a life where they don't want their life, you know, they don't want to be just some animal, you know, living an animal's life.
Roughly the same population, thanks mostly to immigration. Japan is expected to stay at its current low fertility rate, and consequently its population will decrease from the current one.
Right, and that's all to the Japanese benefit. I'm sure even the people in Japan would say, yeah, it'll make life a little better. We won't have to hire people to smash us into trains and do all this other crap. Because, yeah, there was way too many of us on this fucking island. It's a fucking island. I mean, get real. Okay, there were way too many Japanese people.
Under 28 million to only 60 million. Just a few weeks ago, Musk commented on this, claiming that Japan could cease to exist. Well, we've seen that Japan will indeed likely halve its population by the end of the century, and if you extrapolate this trend indefinitely, then yeah, it'll cease to exist. But let's put the numbers into context. This figure shows the evolution of the Japanese population from 1900 to the present. It peaked around 10 years ago at about 130 million.
So just understand, 130 million is like, you know, a third of the American population, and it's on a fucking little island.
Doesn't sound like much. Keep in mind that Japan is only about half the size of Texas.
Yeah, exactly. Really small, lots of people.
This means its population density is...
Right, and it doesn't have any resources, okay? It's not like it's got oil wells, it's got like, you know, so it's really got way too many people for way too few resources.
Currently about 10 times higher than that of the United States. The Lancet paper forecasts that Japan will remain the world's fourth largest economy even after halving its population, and no one expects the population to continue shrinking forever.
Right, so that's more doesn't make any sense, frankly. I mean, well, it's going to stay the same size economy, so everybody's going to buy four times the number of TVs or something. I mean, yeah, come on. I don't think so.
So the future looks nice for Japanese people, regardless of what Musk thinks. What's with Europe? The population of Germany is expected to go from currently 83 to 66 million people in 2100. Spain and Portugal will see their population cut by more than half.
So again, these numbers don't really reflect what you hear, okay? Is that, no, you got an immigration problem too, but whatever.
But this isn't the case in all European countries, especially those up north can expect moderate increases. Norway, for example, is projected to go from currently 5.5 to about 7 million, and Sweden from currently 10 to 13 million.
Right, and are those domestically bred or imported? Again, she's not making a distinction, which is sort of irritating. What portion of their population is doing that? So maybe it's the imports are having 10 kids.
But the biggest population increase will happen in currently underdeveloped areas, thanks to both high fertility rates and further improvements in living conditions. For example, according to the Lancet estimates, Nigeria will increase from currently 206 million to a staggering 791 million. That's right, by 2100, there will be more Nigerians than Chinese. Niger will explode from 21 to 185 million. Overall, the largest increase will be in sub-Saharan Africa, which will go from currently 1 billion to 3 billion, but even there the fertility rate is projected to decrease below the replacement rate by the end of the century.
So that's whose projection? So whatever. Yeah, I don't think so, unless you really think something radical is going to happen to, you know, change people's perspectives. And maybe it will. I mean, maybe the radical change will be is that they'll finally get an episode of South Park, you know, on their Wi-Fi, and they'll realize what a joke life is.
Want to check the fertility forecast for your country? Just check out the paper and find out if it's sunny or cloudy. Those extrapolations assume business as usual. But the same paper also considers an alternative scenario in which the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals for education and contraceptive use are met. In that case, the population would start decreasing much sooner, peak in 2046 at 8.5 billion, and by the year 2100, the world population would be between 6.3 and 6.9 billion. What do we learn from this?
The good news is that yes, most people, when given, you know, educated opportunity to choose a life, choose not to have kids, okay, in any kind of excessive numbers anyway. And there's certainly more than enough people not having any kids. So that's half the population now. Half the human beings in civilized countries choose not to replace themselves. And that's the glaring, in my opinion, that's the big giant truth here, is that there's a huge giant amount of philosophical perspective that's completely unrepresented in anybody talking about it, that basically is pretty cynical on the function of human beings. It isn't too that they're not desperately saying, oh, I must make another human being because somehow there needs to be somebody here to do this stupid shit when I'm not here. No, they're not terribly interested in what happens to the future in the sense that as long as they're not part of it.
According to the conservative estimates for the carrying capacity of the world and extrapolations for population trends, it looks like the global population is going to peak relatively soon below carrying capacity. Population decrease is going to lead
to... there's no such thing as carrying capacity. That's a bullshit number. You could argue we're already past that. Then, if that global warming thing kicks in and there has to be a mass migration of, you know, more than half the people on Earth, you know, live less than like 3 feet above sea level. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of tension going on between people.
Huge changes in power structures, both nationally and internationally.
And then the global bankruptcy that'll have to take place, you know, because all the economies are tied to each other and they're all in unsustainable debt.
That'll cause a lot of political tension and economic stress.
Right, and so then you'll have maybe a world war.
And this doesn't even include the risk of killing off 1 billion people or so with pandemics, wars, or a major economic crisis induced by climate change.
There you go. That's the, you know, sitting there just waiting to happen, you know, because nobody's going to want to pay for this problem.
So both the doomsters and the boomsters are wrong. The doomsters...
No, whatever. It's just too silly. Just too silly. All the doomsters have to do is be right about one of the threats that exist, and they win the argument. So all you have to do is have the world war, they win. All you have to have is the environmental crisis, they win. You know, all you have to do is have some sort of virus that affects, you know, something like corn or some other kind of crop that's vital, some sort of, you know, rice failure. They win. So all you need is one catastrophe, one massive earthquake in the wrong place. They win.
Doomsters are wrong to think that overpopulation is the problem, but right in thinking that we have a problem. The boomsters are right in thinking...
Oh, well, whatever. I mean, they're wrong to think we have that overpopulation is the problem. Well, overpopulation is, in all these scales, is the thing that turns a nothing into a something. So a nothing problem becomes chaos because of overpopulation. You can't fix it because the people all go crazy. You know, there's no management capacity because you're in an unsustainable population density. You can't evacuate the people in any manner, okay, because there's too many people to evacuate.
Thinking that the world can host many more people, but wrong in thinking that we're going to pull it off. And I'm afraid Musk is right. If we'd play our cards more wisely, we could almost certainly squeeze some more people on the...
And why would we squeeze them? Why? Is there any likelihood that that the ones who are going to do more damage, that is, have the terribly negative blood footprint, are going to be in any way less... of a factor than the ones that are going to do something positive, and that the positive people can do anything positive enough to clean up all the mess made by the negatives? Not much chance.
This planet, and seeing that the most relevant ingredient to progress is human brains, if progress is what you care about, then we're not...
Right. So, but the real point is that the way you create the most time for people to apply that intelligence is to not have chaos and not have inefficiencies. So you're going to be able to maximize how many smart people and how much that smartness is allowed to increase by improving civilization, not taxing civilization. And increased population only taxes it. It doesn't increase it.
On the best possible track. Yes, there are a lot of people in the world, and some of them would really, really like to know your credit card information. If you'd like to share it.
Oh, yeah, whatever. So she's going to sell with another lie. The science say that VPNs are for protecting people from thieves, when no, what they're really for is for the thieves, okay? For the people who want to commit crimes without being caught. That's what the disguises are for, okay? You don't wear a disguise so the muggers can't find you. You wear a disguise so you can go be a mugger.
In the comments, please go ahead. If you worry about that kind of thing, check out our sponsor, NordVPN. NordVPN is an app that you install on your phone or laptop.
Right, that makes you capable of being a terrorist. Yeah. So if you want to be a terrorist, go get yourself a VPN. I mean, it's just selling this lie, you know. And again, that somehow you're going to be protected when, it, you know, frankly, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. But anyway. I mean, you know, your credit card is secure as long as you don't sit there and publish it on a website. Yeah, but whatever. It's just such a pile of shit. Yeah. Ugh. So this is civilization, you know, science, you know, do a video where you say science says and then spend, you know, a third, well, whatever, a sixth of the video time selling product. Yuck. And she's selling it. You know, this isn't a commercial. This is something she's agreed to be the spokesperson for it. Yeah. Gross. Yuck. So it's just, you know, her integrity for sale. All right. So anyway, enough of the video and such. So yeah, the bigger subject is that what makes people not have kids? And that thing isn't being talked about. And that thing is the fact that this life thing isn't a certain good. There's nothing overtly obvious about the goodness, okay, of putting the coin in the machine that says make another one, because you really don't know what you're going to get, and you can't guarantee what you're going to get, and it's not the kind of thing you put quarters in. All right, something like that anyway. So enough of video. Yeah, so this has been a DoNotGod.com video presentation. I have to concede, a little bit under-enthusiastic, but I have to work on that part. So anyway, till the next time, such.